feeding the 5,000. John 6, 5 through 13. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, but he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. Hear what the Spirit is saying. I'm sorry.
I want to mention that from time to time in sermons, I've mentioned that I'm something like a universalist theologically. I don't like any description that ends in "ist," but I tend to think in the direction of universalism. And people have asked me about this from time to time and wanted to know more. So next Sunday, I am going to preach a sermon about this entitled, "Why I Believe Hell is Empty." Why I Believe Hell is Empty. So if you have friends or people that you know who wrestle with issues of salvation and damnation, you might consider inviting them to worship next Sunday. I'm working very, very hard to organize my thoughts in a systemic way that will help us to think about this. The story of the feeding of the crowd, sometimes called the feeding of the multitude, appears 6 times in 4 Gospels. 2 Gospels tell the story twice. All 4 Gospels tell it at least once, and 2 Gospels tell the story twice. There's some variation in the stories. In one version of the story, 5,000 people are fed, in another, 4,000, but it is still basically the same story. Jesus and his disciples go into the wilderness, a remote place, to get some downtime. They had been working very, very hard. A crowd of thousands follow them into the wilderness because they are so hungry to hear the teachings of Jesus. When the crowd is in the wilderness, it gets to be mealtime. And in several versions of the story, Jesus' disciples come to him and tell him to send the crowds away into town so that they can get themselves something to eat. Instead, Jesus says to his disciples, "You feed them." The disciples say to Jesus, it would take half a year of somebody's salary to feed a crowd this size. We don't have the budget for it. One of the disciples says, "All the food that we have been able to find is these 5 barley loaves and 2 fish that this young boy has offered us. But what good is this when we have 5,000 people to feed?" Understand that the barley loaves were not like the loaves of bread that we buy today at the supermarket or at a bakery. They were more like the small dinner rolls that McDonald's serves. And the fish were not like the salmon that we buy at Whole Foods. They were more like two little sardines, and it made a young boy's lunch to be able to smear some of the sardine on the very small roll and eat it so that the roll, which was made out of barley and not very flavorful, at least had a little taste to it. So Jesus took the boys 5 dinner rolls and 2 sardines. And Jesus had the people sit down together on the grass, and then Jesus took the rolls and the fish, and he blessed them and said grace over them and gave thanks for them and distributed them to the people. When everyone had eaten and was full, had eaten as much as they wanted and needed, the disciples gathered up the leftovers, and there were 12 baskets of leftovers. The early church, the early Christians, loved this story. They told it over and over. That's why it appears 6 times in 4 Gospels. There's no other story that appears that often in the Gospels. There's no other story about Jesus that was told over and over and over again like this story. Something about this story takes us to the very heart of what the early Christians loved most about Jesus. Traditionally, there are 3 interpretations of this story. One interpretation says that Jesus miraculously multiplied the loaves and fishes. He sort of put his hand on these little rolls and 2 small fishes, and they exploded into enough food that 5,000 people would be able to be fed, and there'd be 12 baskets left over. That's one interpretation, and I like it. The second traditional interpretation is called the sacramental interpretation. Just like when we come to take Holy Communion and we take a little piece of bread and we dip it in a few drops of wine and we eat it, but we are spiritually filled. That this was a sacramental meal in which people were spiritually filled, and that's a good interpretation too. But my favorite interpretation is the third one. The third interpretation assumes that most everybody had actually brought a lunch with them. Who goes into the wilderness for a day without bringing some food with you after all? But when the disciples went into the crowd to look for people who would be willing to share their food with the rest of the crowd, everyone looked around and saw 5,000 people and said, if I share my food, there's not going to be enough left over for me. And so they pushed and hid it deeper and deeper in their bags, figuring that they would find some time during the course of the day to leave the crowd to some private place where they'd be able to scarf down their own lunch. But when Jesus had sat them down together in groups on the grass and showed them the little dinner rolls and the little fish that this child had offered to share with them, people started pulling their lunches out of the places that they had hidden them. And they started sharing them with the people sitting to their right and to their left and in front of them and in back of them. And it became the first United Methodist covered dish. And when all the food that people had brought with them had been shared and eaten, there were 12 baskets of food left over. I like this interpretation of the story the best because it suggests that what the early Christians loved most about Jesus is that he helps us break down the barriers and anxieties and insecurities that cause us to want to build walls between ourselves and other people to protect ourselves, to make sure that we have enough. The walls that cause us to want to accumulate more and more and more so that we will always have enough. Jesus breaks down that wall and helps us to share with the people around us until it becomes a party. Jesus was always helping to move people from a posture of self-protection and defensiveness into a community of sharing and rejoicing and joy. Have you ever noticed how much our stuff really ends up isolating from one another? We protect ourselves, we build walls, we stay in our own space, we keep many things in our lives private. The truth is that when we are anxious and fearful, we will never have enough. When we are anxious and fearful, no matter how large our pension, how large our bank account, how much we have in reserve, it will never be enough. I read a study not long ago of millionaires that was done, in which they asked a test group of millionaires how much money you had to have to be rich. And all of them reported that you needed between $250,000 and $500,000 more than they had in order to be considered rich. Because when you're insecure, when we're insecure about our futures, no matter how much we have, it's never enough. And Jesus was able to break down the barriers between folk so that instead of hiding their lunches deeper and deeper in their bags, they pulled their lunches out of their bags and shared it with one another. And what had been a divided group of people who were defending themselves from one another became a party full of joy and laughter. I'm convinced they sat on the lawn in their groups and had joy and laughter and a good time. This is our stewardship season. And we are asking ourselves, all of us, to work at being generous, because generosity breeds generosity. Anxiety breeds anxiety, insecurity breeds insecurity, generosity breeds generosity and community. The more we share, the more community we have, and the more joy we have. So, if you would get out your programs and turn to the last page, which says Growing by Steps. Growing by Steps is a tool that we're using this year, and we've got two invitations. One invitation is to those of us who are already pledging. If you're already pledging, we invite you to look down on the left-hand column and project what you think your yearly income is going to be next year. And then we encourage you to take one step toward tithing or beyond. And the numbers are just guidelines about what those percentages would look like. But our big invitation this year is we'd like to invite everyone to put your barley loaves and fish on the table. If you're not yet pledging to the ministry and mission of God through Foundry Church, we'd like to invite you to consider pledging this year. Start wherever you want to start. Because I really believe that once we start, there is a dynamic to generosity where it grows, and it grows. So as part of your spiritual journey, I'm more concerned that you start somewhere than what the amount is. Jane and my pledge to Foundry Church right now is $365 a Sunday. I remember when we started this journey more years ago than I want to admit. I think we started at $10 or $15 a week. And our experience of the generosity of people that we've been privileged to work with through the years has been contagious and just made us want to be more and more generous. And our giving has grown throughout the years. And I do not begrudge 1 cent. I just begrudge I wasn't more generous sooner. There's a lot of money I've spent in my life I wish I could have back. My tithes and offerings to the mission and ministry of the Church of Jesus Christ is not part of that. And so our encouragement and invitation to you who have not pledged before is to just start somewhere. There are pledge cards in every pew. If you don't find a pledge card in your pew, Bill McLeod has some in the back of the church, and if you raise your hand, he will come and give you one. We're going to take 2 minutes. And Stanley is going to give us a short preview of his recital next week. And during those 2 minutes, I would like to invite you to look at the steps of giving, to take your pledge card, to prayerfully consider where you'd like to be in your commitment in the year ahead. And then we will actually have a march this morning. We'll bring our cards forward. There's baskets up front. There's baskets in the balcony. We'll sing Marching to Zion, and we'll have a march, and we'll bring our commitment cards and our offerings forward this morning. So take these 2 minutes to prayerfully let the spirit of generosity move and grow within you. Put your loaves and your fishes on the table so that Jesus can give thanks and bless them.